Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends.
That it really freezes you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
Impossible.
girlfriends. Welcome. We want to welcome you tonight to the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. We have a new topic for you tonight, and that is The Lies Women Believe and the Truth That'll Set Them Free by Nancy Lee DeMoss. And I've read this book a couple of times. I'm teaching it actually at a different place, also in Kitsap County on Thursday night. So if you're in Kitsap County, I'd love for you to join us at Starbucks at 6 p.m. at Kingston. It is a ladies-only study. However, you can listen like you are now. If you're not a lady, you're still welcome. So we are in Everett, Washington tonight, just a little north of Seattle, and we're happy that you've joined us. We're going to open in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time tonight. We pray that you would help us to find the lies in our life that can become bondage, Lord. And we just pray that you would be with us tonight, help those that are listening to be impacted and inspired by your words of truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to teach us for a few minutes from chapter 1. There wasn't a whole lot of information in chapter 1, just reminding us, thank you very much, I spilled my coffee here in the live audience, reminding us that, you know, everyone can be deceived. And even Eve, who her and Adam actually walked with God and saw God and could, you know, verbally hear God, still fell away. So if she could do that, you know, how much more can we do that? And incidentally, too, you know, Adam and Eve suffered the first murder in the Bible with one of their children, and also the first loss of a death of a child was in the Bible. And could you imagine having one of your children kill the other child? Could not imagine. And on purpose situation. Stephen Curtis Chapman shared on Larry King Live a few years ago how his one son accidentally ran over their daughter, and their son was on TV with them, and it was the most powerful interview I think I've ever watched in my life, and somebody I don't even personally know, I sat and just wept at the story, not because of the tragedy, but because of the grace that they had for their child. It was just amazing. And just a few days later, one of their other kids got married, and they didn't even move the wedding. They kept it there as the celebration of someone's love, saying that this, you know, that the little girl who was supposed to be in the wedding would have been a part of. And it was just, anyway, it was just, if you could ever somehow go on YouTube and see the Larry King Live back when he had a show interview with Stephen Curtis Chapman and his wife, don't wear mascara, because, wow, it's crazy. So, Debbie and I were counseling someone just the other day in my office, and they were very upset and mad about an abuser. And the word creep came to mind over and over and over again. She said creep, and this person is a creep. And, you know, yeah, the actions definitely were creepy that could have happened here. But I really wanted to redirect her focus, and that was the real creeper in your life is not a person, but it's the devil. And the devil wants to separate families. He separated the most perfect marriage, which was Adam and Eve. I mean, not only did she not, you know, have a wonderful body, I'm sure, but she probably didn't even have a belly button. She didn't need it, right? Did you ever think about that? I remember seeing, I think it was Chrissy Brinkley one time, she was on in a magazine cover, and she said, she was on Johnny Carson. Was it that long ago? Yeah, it was that long ago, forever ago. And Johnny Carson says, wow, you look perfect on here. And she's like, don't look very close, because when they proof brushed my stomach and make me look so wonderful, they forgot to put my belly button back on. So, well, I shouldn't have a belly button in that picture. And he's like, oh, I guess you didn't. So, you know, they put the camera way up to him, and I thought, oh, man. So if I'm ever missing a belly button, you know I'm not as thin as I thought it was. No. They were just talking about how sneaky the snake was. And I heard something last night when my son and I were watching the Animal Planet Network, because I have children, so I don't get to watch regular television. And they were talking about these snakes in Canada that hibernate. And they said in this cold, cold, cold climate, when they wake up, they are starving. And all they're worried about is getting food and getting warm. So when they wake up, they said they have hundreds of males over one female trying to mate. And the female is not interested in the male. He is interested in food. she's interested in food. So it said that, and it just showed this just all these gross snakes all over the place, and this female snake trying to get away underneath. It's like you can tell the females because they're trying to get out from under the pig pile of snakes. Well, it said the funny thing as they've been watching this for year after year with these snakes is there is one that they call a sneaky snake. And it is a male slit snake that knows how to act as a female. And so it comes out of a sneaky snake hibernation, and it starts female in it, whatever that is. And it's doing the female dance. And all of a sudden, all these hundreds of snakes come over to get on top of the snake for mating. Well, how does it benefit the sneaky snake? He gets warm. And because he gets warm, and then he goes over to the pig pile of snakes, she likes him. So he's just taking all the warmth from this other snake. And all these snakes are so stupid that they're just like, hey, that's got to be a girl because look at the way she's dancing. And goes over and finds out that she's a guy, and they disperse, a long time later, because they take a long time to try to find her. And anyway, I was just thinking about, that is a sneaky snake. And that sneaky snake is trying to take away who the man is in the relationship, trying to change who the woman is in the relationship. And isn't this what the devil's doing to our culture now?
Yeah, right.
And what a sneaky snake he is. He is trying to change and make us women feel like that we're something that we're not, make us women fight for rights that we never fought for before, making us become fighters, making us think that we have to be like this. Now, there's nothing wrong with women that are power women, make money and do all this. There's nothing wrong with that kind of stuff. But when we have to fight to be somebody that we are not as a female, then I think he's a sneaky snake. I think he is. And I think he's also taking away the masculinity of men and making them feel worthless. I've always said, my son had an incident at school that was I was not happy with the outcome of, and I talked to the behavioral counselor there, and I said, more than my son getting physically hurt, his masculinity was hurt, and I'm never going to do that to my boys. I will never have a female or a male or anybody else treat my men in my household like anything but men. And as they're growing and maturing, I want them to be in a leadership, role in their life, whatever that would be. If they're a manager at McDonald's, I don't care. I want them to be, I want them to feel this masculinity. And the devil is coming into our relationships, and he is changing who we are supposed to be in our role. And also, he's changing it, and the book talks about how authority, even church authority, can be so stinking wrong and can hurt us so bad, it pulls us away as Christians that he's a sneaky snake. He's just a sneaky snake. I put on here, Satan is a snake, and he is a creep. And in Genesis 2, he comes to Eve, and he tells her half-truths. God had already talked directly to Eve. God had already said, this is the situation. And the devil said, ooh, wait a minute. He didn't say that. He said this. And she only heard half the truth and went with half of the truth, did not even go with the full truth. And what happened with that? Because of that, we have to bear children. Because of that, we have weeds in our garden. Because of that, we have to work for an income. And because of that, she was thrown out of the garden and experienced firsthand murder. Continue on down, we see adultery. We see fornication. We see theft. We see all of these things. And finally, Noah came along. All that stuff had to happen. And then what did Noah do? He lost who he was, too. He got out of the ark, praise God, and then he went and got drunk and got naked. Remember that part? We don't talk about that part very much, do we? We just see a beautiful ark. Matter of fact, our society's even changing what the rainbow's supposed to be. How sad is that? Is that not a slap in God's face to take what his symbol is and take the symbol of God that is a biblical symbol, not in just Christianity, but in Jewish culture, in Mormon culture, in Catholic culture, in Seventh-day Adventist culture, in Jehovah's Witness culture, you name it, the rainbow means the same to all of us. And to take that and turn it into the lifestyle that is not pleasing to God. How sad is that? The devil's a sneaky, creepy snake. That's what he is. Thursday night I taught this a couple weeks ago, chapter one, kind of what I'm talking about tonight. And I just went around the room. There's probably 8 or 9 or us women. And I just said, have you ever felt like you believed a lie in your life? And I could not believe the lies that these women believed. I could not believe it. There's a girl who's just brilliant in her job. Brilliant. She's debt-free. She goes on mission trips. She does all this stuff. She's not married, so she has a lot of freedom. And she's just very, very brilliant, this girl in her 20s. Just a brilliant girl. And her lie is she is afraid that if she goes out on a limb, that God's not going to take care of her. And I just was like, what? Yeah, if I do something or go somewhere that I feel that God is calling me, that I won't be taken care of because I've been so used to living kind of a cushy lifestyle. Okay, and then this other girl, smart as all get out, just brilliant, is going to school to be she's a veterinarian tech. She's always wanted to do more. And she says, I didn't think I was ever smart enough. Smart enough? You are so smart. I can't believe it. Another girl works with special needs kids, and she's been told and took the lie that she has not lived up to her potential in a job. Well, you should be a teacher. You shouldn't just help with special needs kids. And I said, well, how do you feel in your job? I love it. I come home every night and I feel that I'm, well, then why isn't anybody else? And these are God-fearing Christian people that are going to her and saying, you should be doing something else. And she really feels that what she does is a ministry. So, but it went on and on. And I was so taken back by these lies that these women had that I said, what we need to do, girls, is we need to be accountable to each other and say, hey, this is a lie. You know, what do you think of this, Lisa? And have Lisa tell me back, I don't believe that's true. I think it's this and this, and combat these lies with the truth. Okay, the first thing it talks about in chapter one is it says, first of all, we dwell on the lie, whether it's from people, abusive verbiage, or from ourselves, or from looking in the mirror. We dwell on the lie, and then we believe the lie, and then guess what? We act on the lie. You ever been on a diet, and about noon, you mess up? So you believe the lie that I might well just do whatever I want the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And, oh, well, I feel so bad yesterday, I might as well just continue it tomorrow. And I don't stop at what I did. I don't make a mistake and get back up. In our September retreat, September 9th and 10th, we're going to talk about get back up. Get back up. When you fall down, get back up. If you mess up, you get back up. You continue doing what you need to do. You make the journey and the goal bigger than what's happening right here. So it's going to be called Cowgirl Up. Anyway, it is identify the areas of bondage. Think about something that is really taking you in. Really taking you in. Whether it's food, alcohol, a depression, another addiction, gossip, something that you cannot stop doing. What is a bondage that you have? And in that bondage, identify the lies of the root of that bondage. What are the lies that makes you stuck in that bondage? Because they are lies if it is bondage. The Bible says that he comes to give us life and have it more abundantly. I always think it's such a sneaky, creepy snake that tells us as a Christian, we can't do all these things. And that's so not true. We live a life of freedom. But he says you have a freedom of choice. There's man's laws and there's God's laws. And if you break them, there's consequences. But he gives a choice. Is it Paul, Debbie, that says, I can do all these things, but I choose not to? Is it Paul that said that in the New Testament? I believe it was. I didn't have the scripture for that. Sorry. Identify the lies of the root of bondage and replace lies with the truth. Replace the lies with the truth. I can't quit doing this addiction. Instead, you know what? There's a lot of people that have. There's a lot of people that have not done this anymore. There's a lot of people that I can go to and say, hey, I need your help on this. You know, what can I do on this? Replace the lie of I cheated on my diet at noon and now I'm going to be fat the rest of my life. What a lie. What a lie is that? I'm going to be unhealthy the rest of my life because of what I just did 5 minutes ago. Well, what do? We get back on the horse. We continue. We make our goal bigger than our today. Replace the lies with truth. I'll never get out of debt. I'm going to be in debt the rest of my life. Well, you know what? If you make more money than you spend, you're going to eventually get out of debt. It works like that. It may take a really long time, but it works like that. I love the one thing that my dad says, and I say it so many times. People will buy what they want to afford. They'll afford what they want. They'll go where they want to go. They'll make time for who they want to see. That's what we do as humans. They will buy what they want, period. They will make time, make money, and if it's good enough, if you're hungry enough, you will eat it, period. If you're hungry enough, you'll eat it. So this week, kind of your homework is, and Lisa will go over that when we go off the air, but kind of what your homework is to find where those lies are in your life. What do you think about all the time? What do you think about? What comes in your mind all the time? I can have negativity come in my mind, and it just sits there. It'll just sit there. And what do I have to do? It says to take every thought captive before it takes you captive. Because a thought turns into a dwelling, which turns into an action, and then we are in bondage. But if we take those thoughts and we take them captive and we say, ha, 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 you're not going to do that to me. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to continue and I'm going to do what's right. I am taking this thought captive, period, end of story. And you know what I love? It doesn't say to take your words captive. You have to think it first. It says to take your thoughts captive. If I take my thoughts captive, they're things I'm not going to say out of my mouth that I probably should not have. There are people I'm not going to injure with this right here. There is three cranial nerves that take care of your tongue. There's one that makes you go, there's one that helps you swallow. There's other ones that help you move in your articulation for speaking. There's other ones that help you drink, that tell which areas in your mouth to close so you don't die from drinking water, so it doesn't go to your lungs unless you have an issue that way. There's so much that it takes for you to move your tongue that 6 out of 10 people need a speech therapist to properly control their tongue before they're 10 years old. In today's society, 6 out of 10 need speech therapy because your tongue is the hardest to control. The Bible says your tongue is the hardest to control. Mm-hmm. Literally. Because we're not taking our thoughts captive. If we have to say something like this, I probably shouldn't say that.
Don't.
Then guess what? We probably shouldn't say that. Or, well, I know this isn't nice to say, but then let's stop. Well, I probably should. Okay, the probably shouldn't is the Holy Spirit talking. It's when you say those things without the probably shouldn't, you probably aren't listening to start with. But in order to take those things captive, I tell the kid I'm working with at school all the time, make your words sweet. Can you make it sound better than that? I know that's the way you feel. But let's make our words sweet. Let's start over. How do you feel right now? Let's control those things and taking a control. So I'm going to ask Mary and Debbie and Tammy to join me, and we're going to take 7 minutes for just kind of a discussion of whatever you guys got from the chapter, however you think, whatever. Mary Medling is our guest host tonight, and my sister Debbie and my friend Tammy are also joining us. Go ahead, guys. Anything you want?
Well, one thing I noticed is, and I didn't hear you say this, but the first part of this process is just the listening to something. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know what's unique about that is, how do you know that you're listening to something that is wrong until you listen to it?
And you mean a person or?
Yeah, well, let's say, well, for instance, the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
So Eve is listening to the serpent, and how do you know that it's wrong until you listen to it? And the Bible says don't first mistake is listening to a lie. The second mistake is dwelling on it. The third is accepting it and then acting on it.
Yeah.
So how do you know it's wrong before you listen to it?
I thought it's between hearing and listening. Yeah, I thought it said that listening in itself wasn't a sin.
It wasn't a sin, but it was a mistake.
Right, because she allowed that. She didn't weigh it against the truth. She should have said, I shouldn't say this
right.
part. She should have went, that's
so,
not what
and
I said.
Dwelled on that, and I heard that too, where she said it's not a sin. Her listening to it wasn't the sin. The sin was that she dwelled on it and acted on it.
Right.
But it was her first mistake was listening.
Well, too, it said that the truth, everybody always says, the truth will set you free. Non-believers all over the world say that all day long. I hear this all the time. Oh, the truth will set you free. Well, thanks for telling the truth, kid, because the truth will set you free. But they're not listening to the first portion of that. What's the first portion of that verse? You shall know the truth.
Right.
And the truth will set you free. If we're not reading the Word of God, we don't have anything to line it up with. If we're not listening to God's voice to start with, we have nothing to line
and
it up with.
And she wasn't going back to what God
told
her.
Well, and I mulled that over, and I thought, okay, so let's talk about, and I don't know if this is going to get me in trouble, but for instance, when you talk to, for instance, a Jehovah's Witness that comes to your door, it used to be that I would want to rally back and forth with them. And then we had a lesson one time where it was, God does not want you to fight his battles. He's got this. And I thought, well, maybe that's what we're talking about here. If you've got your mind loaded with the truth, then you know, as you're listening to the serpent, whatever that serpent might be telling you, you know when to stop listening and just hear. And you know not to fight the battles, because the problem with fighting battles for God is, you're going to get it wrong. You're going to get it wrong. And you are all, there was something else, and I can't remember what it was. There was something else that they said in this chapter about, can't remember what it was. But it brought me to the fighting the battles for God. And it had to do with the fact that you are now listening. You have to actively listen to somebody to argue a point. And when you're arguing a point, then things start to get absorbed, and then you start morphing. Anyways, that's kind of what I...
Well, in anything, any type of religion, and I use that very, very liberally, any type of religion is always taken from the truth and changed.
Yeah.
You can find a little bit of the Bible just about in every religion.
Yeah.
Doesn't your father say 36 points?
Oh, yeah.
Every single one of them has the same 36 points that they agree on.
Absolutely. And what I love the difference is Dad says that they will not deny the Lord that taught them, because they all know that Jesus is a teacher. That's in history. There's more proof that Jesus Christ exists in books besides the Bible than George Washington exists, because they know he exists. So they don't deny the Lord that taught them. He says they deny the Lord that bought them with their blood, with his blood.
Right.
Not accepting him as a sacrifice is the reason why it is a religion and not a relationship with God.
Some of them don't accept him as the Son of God either.
Right, at all. They think he was
But they all know that he was a teacher and that he was there.
Yeah. They can't find anything wrong with him. Look at the people that tried to crucify him. They said, I don't see anything wrong with him. I'm washing my hands of this.
Right.
I give it to the people. The people will vote in good and bad, and that's the same in society today around election time. The people will vote in good and bad, and God says they have voted in who they want, and they will suffer the consequences. And this is what happens with our nation.
And I think the key with this chapter, though, was that we need to be ready to know.
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know. Please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office, 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121. And we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today. Our sponsors are the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive television and radio. Our executive director, Reverend Stanley Rowe. And we want to thank our floor directors, Sandra Wilkinson. Until next time, may God richly bless you.